Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
This is Paul Hawksby
and Andy Jacobs,
and welcome once again to the H&J Daily. Some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Well, of course, as always, we poured over the weekend's football. You're going to hear from John Motson today. He had a bit of a moment, didn't he, while he was at the Wimbledon game. You'll be hearing about that. And we're joined by a very interesting guy who is basically looking to do a marathon everywhere in the world, basically.
Yeah, 196.
196 marathons he is taking on for prostate cancer. He's got some great stories, isn't he?
He has. He was on good form as well.
So you'll hear from Nick Butter. And Don't Ask Me as well, which was thrilling.
Thrilling.
Here it all is.
Yes, good afternoon. No upsets, no great games. To me, that was a bit like an international weekend. I thought it was a disaster, really, that stretched out fifth round from Friday to, you know, there's just not enough games to make it work. There are only two games at 3 o'clock on Saturday. And all of them, really, apart from the first 50 minutes, which was a lot of fun and well done Newport. They put in a brilliant first half performance. Apart from that, I found none of it that engaging or interesting.
The last 15, 20 minutes of the Bristol City Wolves game when they looked like they could equalise and was quite exciting.
Yeah.
But beyond that, not stunning.
Not great. But, well,
I mean, the Palace game, the goal at half time, just for killed it.
Killed it.
It was all over then. You might as well not bother
the
second
thing
half.
In that,
the they should have gone early to Countryfile, I think, at that point.
The best thing in that game was when BBC sideline reporter Ailey Barber asked, it was a real lost in translation moment, Max Mayer, could you have had a penalty? And he said, we practice for them in training, but it's better to win in 90 minutes. Yeah. No, it's not what we meant.
Yeah, but, you know, that's going to happen, isn't it? Second language and all that.
Oh, absolutely. And the other thing I enjoyed very much over the weekend, well, I enjoyed Ashley Cole's goal. It was great to see him out there and score and everything. So one bloke went on Twitter and said, I'd take Ashley Cole over Alonso at the moment. I said, I'd take Cheryl Cole over Alonso. Yeah.
But don't worry. Well, you're right.
Yeah, it's not ideal. Flynn Ball, though, did it a lot better against City than Sarri Ball. Because, funnily enough, you can't press a 50-yard punt downfield by the keeper. It's amazing, isn't it? Honestly. Yeah. No, keep playing out from the back because that's not what they like or anything.
Yeah. And you had the players to mix it up the other day. You could have gone long.
Yeah, of course. You've got to defend deep, play on the counter, play in their half and have some presence up front.
Yeah.
And do it with better players than with respect Newport have got. So, you know, I think it would be a better idea. But I did like Pep's sweater, though. I thought it was one of my more enjoyable.
Oh, yeah, nice as the stripy one?
That is your quality knitwear, that was.
What do you reckon that's cost?
I think it's in the £600 to £1,500 range.
For a jumper? A
slightly clingy wool mix with a nice thin rib and a pie crust neck. That's what it
adds. That's great. You should be our fashion correspondent.
Well, yeah, of course I could be.
Any other outfits take your eye this weekend?
No. Not really. Mooses. No, not at all.
Moose wears a lot of branded wear with his name on, doesn't he?
He does, really.
And supplied by our old mate, Ozzy.
It was good to see. Oh, I tell you, he did look good. Clinton Morrison looked good. He was very smart.
I thought we did well, didn't you?
He's very good. He's very entertaining.
Yeah, he is.
And it's really good news for the fake Clinton Morrison. Do you remember the...
Well, he's a bloke who came... I think we could ever find that clip. But we got it. We had Clinton on the show. Yes, our little producer looks horrified. He's going to have to do some work now. But...
he hasn't got over Saturday afternoon.
I just saw his face sink. I've got to find a clip that's like...
Worst afternoon of his life.
12 years old. Yeah, he watched Torquay beaten at Welling. Goalkeeper should have been sent off. Took him 2 hours to get there.
2 hours to get back.
Woking and now back in the box seat. He's a broken man today. So I think at least I can do is send him in on a wild goose chase for a clip he'll never find. But if you can, it's Clinton Morrison being joined by Britain's foremost Clinton Morrison impersonator. Yeah. It's very good if you can find it. So look, we'll leave it when, I don't know, 12 years ago, 15 years ago. I can't be more specific than that. So you've got a 3-year window to work to, and I could be wrong about that, actually. So anyway, yeah, get in touch this afternoon. There was a story I liked, though, over the weekend. Adama Traore was talking about his dream move to Barcelona. But it didn't happen, nearly. Because I think his mum was looking after him then, was his agent, as far as I know. Mm. And Barca got in touch, apparently. They tried to get in touch, but his mum had not taken her mobile on holiday, so they couldn't get in touch. They got a load of mixed calls and messages from Barcelona, but Adama's mum thought it was a joke and just ignored them.
Oh, right.
Barcelona finally did get through to speak to her, and she slammed the phone down.
Oh, dear.
And... she kept doing it. She basically, every time, I said, look, will you please stop this? Obviously not. Great deal of confidence in her son's ability. Will you stop who is this? Which one of Adama's friends is this?
AFC filed, was it?
I don't think it was. But anyway, okay. In the end, she realised it was serious. And of course, he went there. So have you ever had one of those, folks? Somebody you thought, you know, you slam the phone. Oh, yeah, of course it is. You get the phone call from someone all the moment. Yeah, yeah, I bet. So if you've had one of those where you put the phone down because you thought it was a wind-up, and ultimately, of course, it wasn't, let us know. So if Barcelona maybe tried to sign you, that's unlikely.
My final fashion note of the FA Cup,
yeah.
I had another one just seen here, Wally Downs was styled by Ray Winston.
He had his old brick top bins on, didn't he?
I sort of tried to draw him, but I couldn't quite capture the likeness.
No, I don't know who that is you've done there.
Looks like Mike Graham, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. No, yeah.
But that's how engaged I was with the FA Cup weekend. I ended up during Match of the Day sketching Wally Downs.
My new show, Sketching Wally Downs. Different places you do. On the end,
that'd be great, wouldn't
that
it?
That would be nice, wouldn't it? Yeah, but tremendous. I did like the old brick top bins he had on. They were very good.
Tremendous, weren't they?
Anyway, you know, the producer just said to me, you'll never guess what, I've found it. Let me give you a bit of context.
Oh, man.
Let's not plan. Now we need to check it, apparently.
What do you think will be in it?
When did you become so professional? What happened there? One defeat at Welling and suddenly he's got a conscience. So anyway, we'll bring that to you once it's been checked and double-checked by our extensive production team. And, it's worth hanging on for. It's quite good. The reaction of Britain's foremost Clinton Morrison impersonator when he realises Clinton's there is a joy.
It's good.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Well, Hawksby and Jacobs here on TalkSport. Now, quite a lot of the listeners, whenever we talk marathons, say, yeah, I've done a few. I've been to Berlin, I've been to New York, I've taken on a few different marathons over the years. But our next guest has done, he can tell us, Nick Butter. Hi, Nick.
Hello.
How many marathon distances would you say you've run?
In my life, I've ran just under 500 now. Yeah, a fair few.
Wow.
Official marathons, just over 200, I think.
For a good reason, for a good cause.
For a very good cause, yeah. So this big trip at the moment, I'm trying to raise £250,000 for Prostate Cancer UK. A very good friend of mine called Kevin has prostate cancer. And so we're trying to raise this money and raise this awareness to have this national screening programme throughout the UK where all men can go and get themselves checked. And it's for a very good cause, but it doesn't mean that it's not tiring.
No, of course.
No, and we always hear that, people... top marathon runners don't do more than two or three in a year. I know they do a lot of training, but are you worried that this could be, you know, detrimental? I mean, it's you know, phenomenal amount of running and distances and effect, you know, on your knees and that type of thing.
Yeah, that's a good point. You read so many different articles saying, oh yeah, it's good for you, it's bad for you, and people, experts keep changing their mind. But to be honest, I feel fine. I'm absolutely exhausted because of the amount of energy, the amount of calories that you go through. But other than that, you know, my bones are holding up okay. I've had a few kind of stress fractures and some like Achilles tendon issues, that sort of stuff. But on the whole, 3-4 marathons a week is the norm now. I've been going on this trip for, 13, 14 months? So
yeah.
I'm used to it.
How many have you run so far then?
So on this trip, I've run 116 countries. So a marathon in 116 countries.
Wow. And not all of those are the official marathons. You kind of, you have these sort of, you just rock up and say, anybody fancy coming with me? I'm in El Salvador.
Yeah. Exactly like that. Yeah. So yeah, we were just talking then. It's pretty amazing because, you know, this trip is 23 months long. I have a team of 19 people back home. A lot of them are volunteers and they do a great job of organizing it. So we'll go out to the Facebook groups, the running communities, the embassies, the Minister of Sport sometimes in the country and say, look, I'm coming along. We're trying to raise this money for prostate cancer. We're trying to set this world record for running a marathon in every country in the world. Have you got anybody who's interested? And sometimes you get mute. You get absolutely no response. And sometimes, like we said, El Salvador, I ran with 1,000 kids. I had my handmade medals given to me, everybody that took part, just because the Minister of Sport got involved. I had 4 different schools that we visited along the way, all waving their Union Jack flags. And it was so special. I've had probably upwards of 200 or 300 people in maybe about 60 marathons I've done over the last 12 months. And it's just astonishing the amount of people that come out on a rainy, you know, Monday morning before they go and go to work, just to do a few kilometres here and there, yeah.
And you've done some alone as well, of course. You've pointed out when they've not come back to you, you've been on your own.
Yeah, I've been on my own. And to be honest, sometimes it's good on your own. If you have 1,000 people with you every time when you're doing 3 or 4 a week, it's that you can't cope with that. It's too much. And every now and then you need a break. But, you know, there has been times, Guinea, Liberia, Pakistan, where it's been bad weather, bad conditions, not particularly safe, like in Haiti. And you think, you know what, I really would quite like a couple of people here. And so mentally it's tough. But I've done enough to... You tick him off if it's not enjoyable.
Yeah. I mean, what about funding this? How do you go about that?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, we've got lots of great sponsors. Lloyds Bank has sponsored, which I'm incredibly thankful for, along with 42 other sponsors. Small amounts, kit, you name it, kind of all just clumping together to make this happen. And then I've literally bankrupted myself. It's the honest answer. I've just spent every bit of money that I have and still am doing so, trying to get to the end of this trip. I think it's worth it because when I met Kev, and again, there's a bigger story here, but when I met Kev and I discovered that he had terminal prostate cancer, he gave this fantastic and eloquent message to me, which is don't wait for a diagnosis. And in his world, it was don't wait for prostate cancer. Don't wait for something terrible to happen to you. Go and do what you love. And I love to take photos. I love to travel. I love to run. And so all of that put together, what better way than to spend my money? Yeah.
I mean, you mentioned there in some areas it's got a bit hairy. I mean, has there really been any frightening moments when you realise, you know, you're maybe running alone in a country and you've taken the wrong turn?
Many times. So there's been, my biggest concern at the beginning of the trip was things like getting kidnapped, getting beaten up, getting shot, big things, you know? Mm-hmm. And in reality, what happens is dogs chase you.
Yeah.
I've had so many dogs chase me. And in Tunisia, North Africa, I was attacked by 5 very unhappy dogs and was bitten. And it's not very pleasant. Actually, no. The bite's fine, but the situation of having 5 dogs come and attack you is just not really very pleasant. Other than that, I had a situation in Nigeria in Lagos Market. If you've ever been to Lagos Market, it's the biggest, one of the biggest open air markets in the world, and it is hostile to say the least. Everybody's trying to make their money, and it was very shortly after the marathon, and I had this group of people come up to me and push me to the floor, and many of them had weapons. And what was even more scary is that the police were present. They were there, but it was happening, and could do nothing about it. Luckily, I had some other people with me that were literally crowded around me to shield me from the violence. So I was scared in that situation, but there was literally nothing I could do. Yeah. So it was just, this is going to happen now, and we'll see. So other than that, another big threat that isn't something big like kidnap is cars. You know, if I'm running on my own and you try and find 26 miles in somewhere like, okay, Vatican City is maybe another example, but places like Monaco or some of the smaller places like in Italy, where the roads are tiny and they don't have any decent paths. And so you have to go and find a way to run. And most of the time you're running on roads. Pakistan is a prime example. I ran down the middle of a 6-lane dual carriageway because it was the only place that wasn't, and I'm not joking, down the middle, oncoming traffic. because it was the only place that wasn't flooded. It was the only place I could find to run.
Wow. Well, yeah. And where else, which other countries are coming up then before you complete this in November?
Yeah, so more. 116 down. So I worked my way through North America, Central America, the Caribbean, South America. I've done 55% of Africa. I've done about 89% of Europe. And now I have, if you look at a map, I've got the right-hand side, I've got the east, I've got Asia, the South Pacific Islands, and the kind of the Oceania region, and half of Africa. I cannot stress how kind of dodgy that's going to be. I've got Central African Republic, I've got the Congo, Somalia, Djibouti, wow. Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan. You know, there's a few dodgy ones coming up.
Why don't you just run around Scotland? People will still give you money.
Yeah, it'll be just as wet.
Well, brilliant. Well, look, keep safe and we wish you well. And thanks for popping in to see us today. And we'll give the details at justgiving.com/fundraising/runningtheworld. You can go and support Nick raising money for prostate cancer UK. And yeah, look, keep in touch.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah, very impressive.
I'd ask if anybody wants to get involved, because we are trying to get this big group of people out with me. If anyone wants to come and run on Instagram, my name is Nick Butter Run. And from there, there's a link in my bio where people can go and donate on the Just Giving page. If you just search Just Giving Nick Butter, people will see the page. They can go and donate. And they can also just put me a message and say they want to come and run. And hopefully, if we get that £250,000 together, we can then start to put some money in the pot for this national screening campaign that Prostate Cancer UK want to do. So
fantastic.
Hopefully everybody will get involved. Thanks, guys.
Cheers, Nick. Good to see you. Thanks for coming in. Nick Butter there. It's Paul Hawksby and Andy Jacobs here on TalkSport. Motti with us shortly.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
As we said, still one game to go, which we'll bring you live and exclusive on TalkSport tonight between Chelsea and Manchester United. 7:30 kickoff, Andy. When was the last time there was a 7:30 kickoff?
I can't remember. No,
but like the old days when I was a kid watching football.
A long, long time ago.
A veteran of 7:30 kickoffs, of course, with us in the studio, John Motton. Hi, Motton. You remember those, don't you?
Many of them. I really. The Game of Wars used to end at 9:10. I remember
it
that.
It did.
Distinctly.
That's true.
Yeah, that's right.
They only used to get 10 minutes for half time. Really,
that's
players,
it.
Not 15. Did
Correct.
They?
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, you're saying it's just the BBC don't want it running into the news, and especially.
Well, if there was extra time, of course.
Yeah.
And penalties, which I think
is possible.
Is a possibility.
Is a possibility. Yeah. So, John, you're on commentary duty at the Cherry Red Record Stadium for Wimbledon versus Millwall. And we were talking earlier on to a Dons fan, Andy Brussel.
Yeah.
And you never really thought they were going to get back into it. There was that feeling, really. Even though it was an early goal by Millwall.
Yeah, I must admit, commentating there was a bit of an ordeal because I was actually cramped into a position where I couldn't get out. And very kindly at half-time at King's Meadow, a lady comes around with a box of biscuits for the press and the commentators.
Nice, okay.
And I made a mistake of putting my hand out and grabbing one, because there's a rule that she goes down one one row and then comes back down another.
Oh.
So I got my knuckles wrapped for that, quite rightly.
Can you remember what the biscuit was, John?
The guy that corrected me, actually, called Alan, I think his name is, from Radio London, a very nice man. Mm. Having done that, I then spilt tea all over the desk, including my own notes.
Oh, no.
But Alan obviously works there most weeks, perfectly prepared, took out a completely fresh... what do you call those tissues that you put in a little paper, you know, a small thing?
Oh, yeah. And paper towels, yeah.
Yes, and he undid them and very precisely took out three or four of them and mopped everything up for me.
And that's a nice
So
thing.
I was able
Were you
to,
mid-commentary at this
well,
point?
Well, actually, it was at half-time, really. Okay. So I was able to then dry myself out and do the second half. So thank you for that,
And John, we're suckers for detail. Can you remember what the biscuit was?
Well, I took two chocolate ones, which probably broke the rules as well,
mind
you.
Right. Yeah, okay, yeah, come on, you can't hog those.
Well, I don't think I'll be I don't think I'll be sitting in the press box at King's Meadow just again for some time, so maybe I just got away with it.
Have you ever had any moments mid-commentary? Is there anything about mid-commentary that's completely thrown
Well, Mark Lawrenson, in a big European Championship match, once did spill a cup of something all over my note. that caused a bit of a stir at the time.
But, it would do, really.
I mean, it's all the pitfalls of being in a position where you can't really move very far.
Yeah, and it's quite a low position isn't it?
Tell me about it. I was nearly on the touchline.
People standing up.
Yeah, it was.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Andy. Now, we've been talking about Cheltenham there. 3 weeks today, we'll be on our way after the show, on our way down to the festival, of course. We love it there and bring you 4 days' worth of shows. And although I might not go, actually.
Because, oh, really?
Yeah, because at the same time in Belgium is the World's Best Sommelier Championships.
Really?
Yes. I think that sounds quite sporty.
Yeah, that'd be a good gig, wouldn't it?
There's a British contestant. And
should we get him on?
We should, really. Gerard Bassett, who's representing the UK. Yeah,
brilliant.
So there you go.
He's a bit
of a football fan. He travelled to Liverpool in 1977 to watch a football match at Anfield and never returned. Oh, no, that's the late Gerard Bassett. He has represented Britain. I do beg you.
Beg
your pardon. Sorry, I don't know why I did that. Sorry, that's a complete two different story situation
there.
Okay,
but Britain does have a competitor at the Sommelier of the Year.
But I can't see what his name is.
We'll find out.
Oh, well,
we had a sending off for hair pulling at the weekend.
Yes.
What about that? See that?
No.
Yeah, in the lower reaches. Sending off for a bit of hair
pulling. It wasn't Scott Wagstaff, was it?
No, it wasn't. That's right. Anything else?
Yes. Dua Lipa.
Dua
Lipa is now in Madame Tussauds. Have you seen that?
Right.
Because you used to have to do something, a bit more than she's done, really, but one kiss was all it took.
Oh, aye.
Come on.
Yeah, he might not know how to pronounce her name in the first off, but he's been checking out the back catalogue.
Can I alert you to a fantastic article by Barney Rone in The Guardian on Saturday?
It was Barnsley Wickham. I'd forgotten what game it was, the hair-pulling situation.
Yeah.
And, I know you're not interested, but I thought I'd tell you anyway.
It's about a thing called sport washing.
Oh, yeah.
Which is the use of sport to improve your image, be you a country or an individual or a company or whatever. Yeah. And
a bit like Roman Abramovich, sort of thing.
Like Roman Abramovich, like all of them.
Yeah.
It's incredible. He says there's a lot of whataboutery, but he said, nobody cast the first stone because really,
every club has got a bit of a skeleton in its closet,
And they went through and they listed all the Champions League real last 16 contests. So, for example, what have we got here? Liverpool against Bayern is hedge fund versus Friends of Qatar.
Oh, yeah.
Spurs were...
That seemed to take the romance out of it
when you
describe it like that.
Bahamas Tax Haven versus European Rectitude in Dortmund. Mesgame Club versus Chinese Fund.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
All that sort of thing, So
I wish Bahamas.
It was a very nuanced piece because it's not as simple as just saying, "Well, this is morally wrong," which of course, obviously, it's not ideal.
Well, I'll have a read, Andy, and hopefully some of the tax that he saves while living in the Bahamas he can spend on the team, or indeed the wiring at the new ground.
And I saw a photo in the Daily Star today that is basically what I'd look like if I supported Zenit and had both arms covered in tattoos.
Yeah.
It's amazing, though, isn't it?
He's a bit bigger than you, Andy.
Well,
I think it's you if you supported Zenit, were covered in tattoos and spent a lot of time in the gym. But I can see what you mean. He has got a look of you. That's very true.
Now, Harry Kane may be the world's best number nine. I think he certainly is. He's a wonderful player.
08717223344,
But it is odd. They did a survey of the footballers, women female fans most fantasise about. Mm. And David Beckham, of course, not surprisingly, came first.
Still, one for the oldies.
Still first, Cristiano second.
Oh, yeah.
But Harry Kane, third. Third on the list. Oh. So there you go.
Goal scoring is the aphrodisiac, clearly.
That's very much. Punter Ralph Hoare, Britain's third oldest man, has died at 110 in Gloucester after asking, what was Plymouth Argyle's score? What a great way to go. I don't know what the score was, whether they won or lost.
But, well, he'd obviously had a bet on it, so we don't know. I mean, whatever the outcome of that was, we'll never know who he'd, you know, which side he'd had a punt on. Will we,
and,
really?
Victoria Beckham's latest look that she's wearing today in the sun, she wore in the catwalk, it's very Harry Hill, isn't it? Look at those collars.
Big Harry Hill collars. Argyle drew, apparently. It was a draw. So if he'd had the score draw, he would have gone
Yeah, you don't
out.
Know whether he went this week, though, do you?
So. Oh, 0-0 it was, yeah. So, Adama Traore, apart from his mum not picking up the phone to Barcelona, of course, she thought it was a wind-up, he's been talking about Barcelona and what life is, how high-tech it gets, or it was when he was there. And he says, I understand there are machines now at Barcelona that show you if drinking coffee before the game is better for you than after the game. That's a very specific machine, isn't it? Who designed that?
Well, I suppose what he's saying there is some players, it's because Arsene Wenger used to have this thing. He started this thing at Arsenal. They'd all have an espresso before training.
Yeah.
And but it obviously benefits some players, but not all of them. So I suppose, yeah, it's very...
I mean, if you were going into Dragon's Den saying, hello, my name's Reg, and I'm looking for 50 grand for 2% of my business for a machine that tells you whether you should drink coffee before or after a game of football.
It's very true.
That's why I'm out.
Yeah. And a lovely bit of tabloid ease here in the Sunday Mirror yesterday, where the tabloid thesaurus, where they can't say the same word twice in a piece. So this is a story about a mysterious sewer blockage, which turned out to be a gooey pile of Yorkshire puddings.
Blimey.
The Sunday roast side dish.
Ah, and that's nicely done, yeah.
Made of flour, milk and eggs.
You can't say
else,
the same thing twice.
Was removed by experts called to a flood. Don't treat sewer as bins, said Anglian Water. Avoid block pipes and compost your food.
I'll go and get me rods, Andy. I've got them in the car. I can sort that for you.
Who stuffed a whole load of Yorkshire puddings in the... I don't even bear thinking about, does it? Really?
There was another classic newspaper box out, a little sidebar of top 10 freakish injuries. And we had Dave Besant's salad cream and Rio hurting himself watching telly. But the springboard for it was Sean Hutchinson, the Millwall player. Their skipper, who got a completely freakish injury at Christmas. You're never going to believe what he did. He was just taking a bin bag outside, and there was a part of a smashed plate was inside the bag.
Oh, yeah.
And it kind of caught his leg as he was carrying it, and it sliced his leg open.
Oh, that's nasty.
15 stitches it needed.
Good Lord.
And put him out for a while. But that is freakish. And just carrying a bag.
Who'd have thought it, really?
What are the chances? So
not
there we are.
Ideal. Chris Gayle has been talking before ahead of the one-day game. He's been speaking about the 100 and saying...
He fancies playing. Not a massive surprise,
he's
there.
He's fantastic. If I don't start in the 100, it won't be a tournament. Okay.
It'd be better if he does, though.
Well, of course it will. Mm. And it would give the, as it says here, much maligned event star quality. And he is wonderful to watch, and it's great that he's in the one-day series. But he did a classic Lennox Lewis talk about himself in the third person. He said, this is a big year. I hope to finish in 2019 on a great note. Any bowler is going to be aware of Chris Gayle. That doesn't change because he's 39 now. Talking about yourself. What are you talking about? It's all mad, that, isn't it, when people talk about
third person. Anyway, Caroline last week clearly had not seen our picture on the website and very kindly sent us a Valentine's card. It's very kind of her.
Very nice,
in it, she put £10 to give to the animal charity of our choice, which we subsequently did. It went to the Dogs Trust, in fact, Caroline.
Well done.
That does the job for you. And also, she gave us a lottery ticket.
See, it's a moral dilemma that if we won, we'd have to give the whole lot to the Dogs Trust.
Put us in a quandary. It would have been great news for them, but she did buy us a lottery ticket for this Saturday, last Saturday, should I say. And I'm afraid we didn't win, Caroline. But it was a very kind thought. So bad news for the dogs, bad news for us. But thank you once again. But, you know, it put us on the horns of a dilemma.
Mm. The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Don't ask me to leave it out.
A little Barry Fry off there, weren't we?
Yes.
Hello, mate.
I think you win. Yeah. You definitely won that one.
Yeah, I think I win. Yeah, yeah. anyway, don't ask me five questions based on last week's shows. Can Andy get them all right? I think I might set them a bit easy. We'll find out.
I doubt it.
Tommy Walsh joined us, West Ham fan, of course, telling us why two out of three Brits end up overspending on what, Andy?
On DIY.
DIY, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Frozen peas. Well, it's Tommy Walsh.
Exactly.
yeah. Mick Lambert joined us. He found his FA Cup winner's medal under the bed. Which team did he win it with?
Oh, Ipswich.
Okay, well, don't be cocky. Told you I'd set them too easy. We spoke to John Mullock from Mullock's Auctions. Why?
Now, that's a good one. John was auctioning off. That's a very good question.
You know the answer because you're being a bit cocky again. You're just trying to build attention.
No, I'm not trying to build attention. I'm trying to remember.
Okay, go on then.
John, oh, God. You know what? What was it? Oh, I know. I've got it. What a memory.
Go on then.
It's, that, it's the feather-filled 200-year-old leather golf ball.
That's right, yeah. We were joined by a guest last week to tell us about their book.
I was surprised by that one.
The Great Overdue the tension.
Sorry, well, I was actually thinking of it, and then it suddenly came to me.
That's the art of the memory. The Great British Adventure. Somebody joined us on Tuesday to talk about his book, The Great British Adventure. Can you remember who it was?
No. Okay. Of course not.
It was James Martin.
Wasn't that?
Oh yeah. Yes.
Yeah. And Naomi Ogbeter is not just a fine triple jumper, she's also what?
A stand-up comedian.
So it was James Martin what did for you.
So you didn't think about it, did you? You just immediately said, don't know.
I don't know.
No, so if you thought about it.
That's very true.
That old, I mean, it's old school, but if you have a think, you might actually get to the answer.
We've got a couple of weeks now.
You did it so you can put me in heads gone.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. And so close, Andy.
Yeah, I would have got it. I think Adrian was pressuring me, you know.
It's his fault, isn't it?
Yeah, it was. I spent too long on the golf ball answer.
You were spent after the golf ball answer, and you had nowhere to go after that, didn't you?
This is very true.
You were a broken man. Okay, we'll leave it there. We're back tomorrow. We'll have the book club, and we'll be chatting about a fantastic book, Sir Alex Ferguson's autobiography, co-written with the late, great Hugh McIlvany. That's coming up tomorrow. Have a fine evening. Clinton, what did you think of last night's game against the Villa?
Well, it was all right, basically. You know, it weren't bad. I had a good game. But to tell you the truth, you know, I think Robbie Savage, he could do a bit better. Did you see the way he miscued it and it just went into my path? I wasn't too sure, yeah.
Yeah.
But my finish was quite neat, don't you think?
It was. Now, as far as we're concerned, to our ears, we'd say that's a pretty good impression.
Well, that sounds good, actually,
before.
Yeah.
But to be honest...
Cheers.
Ian, hang on, stay on the line, because there's only one man who can really judge just how good an impression
that's right, yeah.
And that's Clinton Morrison. Hi, Clinton.
That's poor, that's not me.
Oh, my gosh!
That doesn't sound nothing like me.
Hey, Clinton, believe me, you are the Don. Hey, I'm just doing this as an impression, yeah?
I know you're doing it as an impression, but that doesn't sound nothing like me, brother.
Ian's got carried away.
I've watched you since Bournemouth, when you played the Palace at Bournemouth, yeah? You are the Don. I'm not dissing you, man. This is respect, honestly.
All right, then, I'll let you off, then. You're not dissing me.
Trust me, bro. You are the king of South London, man.
Calm down, Ian.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.